As Dan pointed out, we do have a quorum with Robin, George, and myself, and also Lee is here with us. And I'm going to read the pandemic quote. It says, our meeting is being held tonight by public conference call due to COVID-19 virus social distancing requirements. The Planning and Zoning Commission members are participating in the call with video capabilities in case anyone wonders how I am interpreting their voting tonight. In order to ensure that members of the public have access to the meeting, an advertisement was placed in the newspaper of record for Gwinnett County. A notice was placed at the front door of City Hall, and a link was placed on the city website regarding the meeting, all of which included instructions for dialing into the meeting via telephone. For any members of the public in attendance, please dial *6 to mute your line to prevent ambient noise if you are not speaking as part of the meeting. To unmute your line to speak, press *6 again. Okay. All right. I think George and Robin, y'all have seen the agenda for the meeting tonight.
Yes.
Either of you have changes or would make a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Okay. Second. Okay. Robin motion, George seconded. Those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. That is unanimous. Okay. The next item on our agenda is the approval of minutes from our last meeting, which was February the 23rd. Having read that, either of you have any changes or modifications or anything?
I do not.
I do not.
George, okay. Well, we'll go through this rigmarole again. Anybody want to make a motion?
They'll move this time.
Okay.
I'll second.
Second. Thank you, Robin. Those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. All right. So does anyone have any old business they would like to discuss?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not.
Hearing none, I see that Rob and Ronnie have joined us. So we can now move to the new business. And the first item being their request for variance. So Rob, Ronnie, what anything that you would like to say to the commissioners as we get started?
Hi.
Hello.
We would, I just want to remind you that we went through this process 2.5 years ago, and basically what we're asking for was approved at that time. And I'm sure you've read this, so I won't go into a lot of details, but basically the hurricane, we met with our architect on October 9th. The hurricane hit our properties in Florida on October 10th, 2018, and everything came to a screeching halt. We just sold the properties in Florida this past summer, and so now we are ready to go forward.
So, Rob and George, any questions you have for Ronnie and Rob?
Actually, this is more a question towards Lee. By motioning to approve this particular variance, we aren't accidentally, we're okay with all the other pervious, impervious, height restrictions, everything else that we're supposed to be.
And as I understand it, everything is identical to what was requested before. And I believe that the application met all of those standards. I think that Pat would have reviewed them then. And I know that at least to the pervious and impervious, mm-hmm. I'm usually very sensitive to that and have reviewed that. The height, remind me.
We're that height. It's not a problem at all. And we have that in here that we will easily. We're not.
Freezing.
Okay, well, should I go? we're only going, the house is going to be kind of like it is now. We're not adding a third, a next, we have the terrace level and a ground level. And then we're not adding a third level. We're just doing cathedral ceiling in the living room. So we're not even close to coming close to that.
Two-story house with a walkout basement.
0.79 acre lot, I think, too, a large lot.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Okay. Robin?
I don't have any questions.
All right. Well, hearing no other discussion, will one of you make a motion one way or the other, what you'd like to do?
I move that we recommend approval of variance request PZV21-02 as stated in the agenda.
Thank you, George. Robin?
I would second that.
All right. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, but I'll give us a vote of aye if you approve, nay if you disapprove.
Aye.
Aye.
And aye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is like a repeat for you. This can't be a surprise.
We're hoping
we can make it more difficult if you'd like, but
right.
Let us tell you where we are and you'll laugh even more because we're in Cancun. We were just at a hibachi dinner. We opened the computer in the restaurant, walked down the hall to the business center, and our dessert is waiting. So we couldn't be more excited that this was quick.
Well, go celebrate. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much, everyone. We're looking forward to a beautiful house at Berkeley Lake.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, moving on to the next item of business is for PZV2106 at 200 Lakeshore Drive. I see Scott. Yeah, there you are. Welcome. You have-
Sorry, we're on mute, thank you.
Okay, well, I think you were on when I started the meeting, so I think you know where we are in the process. So if you would like to, would y'all start with what you'd like to say to the commissioners?
Yes, be happy to. Do you want to start off
sure.
with the background? That'd be a good idea.
Yeah, so we are looking to go up over an existing garage. The primary reason for that is we have young children and being on the lake would prefer for them to be have a bedroom up over the garage versus in the basement on the lake side, as well as change of work environment and COVID. As you guys all know, the impacts we're all feeling there. And so I've been deemed to work from home now pretty much permanently. And so need an office there. And then Scott also has a small business. So we need an office for him from a paperwork perspective. So looking to be able to use some of the existing below grade space in the basement for that purpose. We are in the process of renovating the home. And so this would be what we're going for variance because of the way the setback is. The lot itself is a pie-shaped lot. So it's just the corner of the garage, which is actually not conforming at this point. So that's what the variance is for, is to be able to an existing structure, not expanding any type of footprint from a non-pervious perspective.
Okay. George, I think that, well, Scott, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Not as far as the variance is concerned, but we do have some history with the house as well. Brandy's grandparents built the house in 1975 as a retirement home on the lake, and Brandy spent many summers there growing up. And she actually told me when we got married that, you know, if we ever have a chance to get this house, we're going to do everything we can. So it's been her dream. And also, so we're finally getting it now renovating it. So very excited.
Well, I have a similar experience where we live. It was owned by a couple that had lived here for many years and their grandchildren had grown up here, and they were even happy for us to have the house too. So I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. George, I think I read that you had a question. Did you get an answer to your question?
Yeah, I had a couple of questions. And Lee, I wanted to confirm, and I could ask Mr. and Mrs. Wargo too. I can call you Scott, but I don't, your name doesn't show up, but.
I'm Brandy.
How high is the roof?
The current roof, yeah, so for the addition itself?
Yes.
So the current roof, well, once we go up over it, would be below 22 feet. It'd be between 20 to 22 feet, but that would just be the ridge. Okay. Itself. The existing roof line right now, interior is 16 feet. So if you add ceiling rafters and the step up, it's actually close to 17. So it's only about 5 feet above the existing structure. The ridge line will be, that is.
And the way the house sits on the lot, it goes down off the road, and then the house barely even gets above the road at the moment where it sits now.
I do apologize. My internet connection is a little bit unstable for whatever reason. So there may be some freezing back and forth. My concern was addressed by that answer. The question was really why above 25 feet height, the building area was only 15%, whereas if it's below 25 feet, it's up to 20%, because this is already above the 15% threshold. I would not want to actually make a motion to approve something that made a conforming situation non-conforming, but since you're below the 25 feet, then no other variance would be required that way. My only other question, which actually is more of curiosity in the sense that, because it doesn't really impact the zoning per se or the modification request, but it is something to do with the septic system and environmental health. And I was kind of curious, I saw additional bathrooms, and I know environmental health counts on bedrooms rather than bathrooms, but where do you stand on the permitting process relative to environmental health?
So we've reached out to Gwinnett County several times before we even got this far down the path on different options, et cetera. They've reviewed the plans and didn't have any concerns with us going up. So we did show them with the additional bathrooms and the space above. And so we do have an email from what's his name?
Ryan Rudosti.
Yeah, at the county, saying that he's comfortable with this.
And you would have to actually, before getting a construction permit, we'd actually have to get their official approval as well. Is that correct, Lee?
What we've been doing for this, and Scott did send me the email and I've got it, and I might reach out to Ryan. I just need to be sure, and this is a request from environmental health, actually. Early when I started back in the spring, something came up and I asked them, listen, how do y'all deal with additions? Because we have a lot of additions in the city, and a lot of these houses are on septic, and they said it would be best if all additions, every one of them, came through us first, because of whatever, you know, yeah. If you're expanding over the field lines or over the tank, or if you're adding a bedroom, there's lots of different reasons why it matters to them. So I have been requiring folks to go through that process. And if, you know, I mean, I'm going to work with the applicant, but at the end of the day, I have to be satisfied that environmental health is good before I'll issue the permit.
Very good.
All right.
So my only other thought, you're not really making this any more non-conforming than before. Adding an addition that doesn't increase any impervious area. If environmental health is satisfied, it doesn't sound very much like it's going to be I have basically two concerns from a personal perspective. Number one, of course, is septic systems, making sure that we keep our lake clean, because no point in having beautiful houses if the lake's not clean. So that's number one. And number two, has been, and as a basis of that 15% or 20% was the, you called it the massing effect. You know, if a house is so disproportionately large for the lot, you know, it just takes away from the whole character of the lake. In this case, even though it's a whole second edition, it doesn't sound like it changes the view very much from either the back or certainly from the front. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, you won't even see it from the lakeside. So yeah, fair statement, 100%.
That's all the questions I have.
All right, George. Robin, did you have anything?
I just wanted to ask one thing, and this is really just piggybacking off of what George said. I just wanted to clarify maybe with you, Lee, and you touched on this just a minute, but if we decide that, okay, this variance is okay to grant, and then there's a problem in terms of the environmental side, then you would not be able to issue the permit. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, I can't issue a permit if there's an environmental health holdup. Like if they say no, I can't move forward.
Okay. And so then even if we approve the variance, it still could be held up by environmental health.
Right. It sounds like they've already gotten through the environmental health process for the most part. And so hopefully that won't be an issue. And based on what they've said, you know, no expansion to the actual impervious. So there's nothing that's encroaching that would encroach into drain field lines or on top of the tank or anything like that. And separately, the fact that they're switching out bedrooms, you know, all of that sounds like environmental health would be A-okay because they're going to care about an increase in bedrooms and then any change to that footprint that could have an impact on the actual septic system itself in terms of location and setback from that. So I think that they're probably in the clear as it relates to
this. In Ryan's email, he did say he didn't have a problem with any of the additions that we had plans we gave him.
That did raise one minor question because this has happened on the lake. People will build two bedroom houses that are 3,000 plus square feet, not put a closet in a room, so it wouldn't be considered a bedroom. They live in it as if it's a 3 or 4 bedroom house. Then they go to sell it, but it's only been permitted as a 2-bedroom house, and everybody's unhappy at that point. I'm trying to figure out, is there any way we can kind of make sure like for future houses, you know, right now you're swapping bedrooms around, but somebody in the future, a future buyer in the next 45 years after you buy the house and they say, oh, great, I have 7 bedrooms or whatever, and you know, loads up the septic system that way. Is there any way to counteract that, Lee?
You know, it's always baffled me at the way that is, seems very easy to do, and that environmental health kind of hangs their hat on the number of bedrooms and what makes a bedroom. You can just put an armoire in a room and not need a closet. As long as it's got a window, I think it has to have egress. So, I'm not aware of that, except that I think what you've said is true. And in fact, I think in your application, Scott, you alluded to this, like when you bought this, you thought it was a 4-bedroom house.
Mm-hmm.
It was marketed as a 4-bedroom house, and it's only approved as a 2-bedroom house.
Yes.
And other than the good faith of the people that own it, I don't know anything to do about it. I mean, except that it can be trouble for future, you know, owners when they go to do something and they're like, oh, well, you only are allowed 2 bedrooms. You can't do whatever thing you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many kids you guys have. Some people have kids that share bedrooms, you know, and I don't know, you know, what your plans are for how to arrange the space. And I think, George, that's kind of what you're driving at. When we go through this permitting process, is we can't, you know, we kind of have to take the applicant's word for how the space is going to be used to some extent. We don't go in and investigate real extensively, you know, as far as, well, did they do what they said they were going to do? And I get it. It's definitely a gray and ambiguous kind of situation.
Well, yeah, my thing, you know, my unease would be settled if I knew a little bit more on the permitting side. If at the end of the day, with the drawings done, it's kind of classified, okay, this is now classified as X bedrooms, X bathrooms. And that way it's clear in all the documentation so that however it gets used now, you know, yeah, I'm not in the patrol business, but for the future sale homeowners, you know, it's, everybody's not confused later on. So
I will say that from a permitting standpoint, the plans that are submitted, the floor plans are labeled. And so they are, it does say what they intend to use those spaces for. So that is documented. And if they choose to use it in a different way, then that would have been, you know, just a,
right.
Dishonesty up front or a change of heart, whatever, you know, I'm not, so, but it is labeled and that's labeled through environmental health too. And then through us. So we've got floor plans that say what those spaces are going to be.
All right. Now I think I'm done with my questions, Rand.
That's okay, George. So if neither Scott or Brandy or if y'all have anything else to add, I will call for a motion.
Okay.
So, George, Robin?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you.
I second.
George second. Those in favor say aye.
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 It is unanimous. Your request is approved.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Really appreciate it.
Do you plan to live there 45 years more?
We do.
We do.
My grandmother's wish was to be able to live her full life there, and we were able to grant that for her. And so we expect to do the same. And hopefully it stays in the family. Yeah. So that's the plan. So it continues to be passed down. Well, yes. Or at least inherit or however it works out. We had to purchase it. So it wasn't an inheritance, but still it skipped a generation and we're going to keep it going for our family. So thank you guys. We really appreciate it.
And Lee, thanks for all your help.
Sure.
Back and forth.
Nice to meet you.
Yes. Nice to meet you. All right.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So there are two items on the agenda that Dan had asked to have for discussion, and he has now asked that they be tabled until a future meeting. So we will skip items 3 and 4. And I think Lee wanted to address item 5.
So we are... when we get an administrative variance request and that goes through the administrative variance approval process, I am by code supposed to report on that or the chair is at the next meeting. So I'm going to do that briefly. We did have a request for 4224 South Berkeley Lake Road. There's an existing lot there. It's about 50 plus thousand square feet. And it is under contract to be purchased, and the owner has granted, you know, permission for the prospective buyer to apply for this variance to reduce the lot size requirement in order to subdivide that property into two lots. Administrative variances have a sort of a 15-day, I guess I'm going to call it an appeal period, but it's not an appeal like the official appeal. It's sort of like, if I have a problem with it, I'm going to let y'all know. And then we bring it to you all as the full commission. So I did get payment for the variance application fee to come before you guys in April. So you'll be seeing that request in full. So even though the chair granted the administrative variance, it was within the 10% rule. The objection kind of kicks it to you guys. So that's the update on that, and you'll see more about it next month.
So, Lee, can I ask at least a question for education purposes?
Sure.
That's a bit different type of variance that we normally get, and one that I'm surprised that we are even allowed to actually make recommendations on, given it's a zoning ordinance, minimum lot sizes. Is that something we can actually,
you ask a great question, George, because you know, it's one of those things that I think as a purist, I struggle with, because that whole, it's the action of the owner that results in the need for the variance situation. But the way the administrative variance language is written, it doesn't appear that you have to necessarily meet those criteria, the original variance criteria. So it is within that 10%. And also looking at all the subdivisions that we have in the city of Berkeley Lake, there have been variances granted to lot size in a lot of them. So, you know, and I'm not sure, you know, historically what the thinking was on that. In this case, it's real close. And I'll tell you, this is another lot on septic. And one of the things I worked with the applicant on was, listen, you need to be sure that you have enough perking soil for this to even work. So I asked him to go through the process of getting environmental health clearance, because there's no point in you guys considering it. If I will say too, the lots are not necessarily inconsistent with other lots along South Berkeley Lake Road. There are some other ones that are around this same size. And we're talking about, we're pretty close. We're, you know, it's not an egregious, like, you know, change in lot size. So I hear what you're saying, but based on sort of the history of things and kind of the way I've read the ordinance and in talking to Dan about it, we didn't see that there was any real reason that we could say, no, you can't go through this process. And in fact, I think people do often have, you know, some lot size variances that come along with subdivisions. I've seen it happen frequently.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Will we get additional information on that before the April meeting, or is...
I'll do a full staff report. I'll do everything that I normally do. And if there are questions that come up, feel free to ask me. So, you know, and the fact that it's a variance means that the criteria will kick in. So, you know, it's going to get a little bit different now, I think. But I had to work with the attorney on what is the right process. This has never happened, I don't think, in Berkeley Lake, where an administrative variance ended up having an actual objection filed to it and resulting in the need to go through some sort of additional process. So I checked, you know, with the attorney on what he thought the best course was. And he said, I think that, you know, you need to take it to the full board. We'll go through the public hearing, allow people to come out, share their comments, give you guys the opportunity to hear from them directly. And then the applicant as well. But you will have the normal typical variance criteria to consider. So.
All right. Thank you for that. Okay, that ends the new business portion of the agenda. I don't know if there's still any citizens that are online or want to have any comments. If so, I'll ask if you do. Okay, hearing none, we have an item for a discussion. If there is any discussion that Robin, you or George want to have, we'll take that moment now.
I'm being a fade, I'll pass.
And right. The items, I guess items 3 and 4 that we're tabling.
Yes.
Dan just wants to wait and talk about those, I guess, in the next meeting. I'm sure so he can be present.
Yes, he has to have them on the agenda and wants to be present, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you both for being able to join us tonight. With the other two having such conflicts, it was not sure how we, I think it was like late this afternoon before we got sure that we were all going to be here. Yeah. I do appreciate your participation. And Lee, thank you. And I will call the meeting to an adjournment.
Thank you, Rand, for being the chair.
Yes, thank you.
My pleasure.
George, I hope you're feeling better. Good to see you.
Take care, George.
You know, I am glad I am it's working. So I'm kind of glad that I'm feeling.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Lee.
All right, let you guys go.
Bye. All right, bye.
Bye. Thank you.